Isn't this a sports show?
Listen, so today's show might be bad.
Almost entirely.
Next hour, we'll do entirely sports. How dumb am I? I fooled myself.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
God forbid this is the first time you've heard this show in any way whatsoever.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Oh, Deshaun, I love this. You're the future.
This is my Twitter impression.
Oh, Deshaun Watson, you're the future. I love you. Oh, you're going to dethrone Tom Brady. You're the new king of the AFC.
He throws a pick.
Oh, Deshaun, you're a bust.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome in on a Thursday. Dang it. Fooled myself. I was going to say that earlier today, I honestly thought that this was a Friday.
Now I'm sad.
And now I'm sad. This is restart the show. You want to dump all that? You want to dump the last 3 seconds and restart? No, it's a Thursday. That's okay, because there's a good football game on tonight. As if we're going to spend the whole hour talking about that. Or we're not. But that's something to look forward to. We've got a bunch of Chiefs stuff we can talk about today. But it just kind of feels like today is the hump day. Charlie is insistent that we stick with society on calling Wednesday hump day. Thursday for us might be the true hump day, because our Wednesdays are wild and wacky, man. We have wild, wet, and wacky Wednesdays.
Thursdays are dry.
Thursdays are just kind of dry and crusty. Not the whole time, though. Not the whole time, though, today. Matt Verderam's going to join us at 5:30. He'll inject some moisture into the show. What?
Okay.
But the real life of today's party may have come by way of Twitter, because I asked earlier for your questions, thoughts, concerns on the Chiefs, did kind of a mailbag request, and in the span of like an hour or so, I got a bunch of really good questions and sort of prompts from Twitter, so we'll get to a bunch of those here in just a second as well. The thing that we tried to talk about yesterday, but eventually ran out of time because Wednesday was just too wet and wacky and wild, had to do with the Chiefs' pass rush. And I wanted to talk about that again here today and try to make sure we covered all the bases I wanted to touch on. The Chiefs have a pass rush problem, and we saw some of this last year, but the reason that they have a pass rush problem this year is a little bit different and maybe even more dire. Also, they have a pass rush problem, and that doesn't involve a lack of Justin Houston. Justin Houston is present and very good, but they still have a major issue here. And if you're going to be an average defense, you've got to be able to get at the quarterback. And I'm afraid that the Chiefs aren't going to be able to do that. We talked about Tom Bahali a little bit. The fact that Tom Bahali had some swelling in his knees after the Cowboys game, even after he played something like 23 snaps. Not exactly a heavy workload. Dee Ford has his back injury, and there's no reason for me to particularly believe that he's ever going to get back to full speed. Back injuries in the mid-season don't ever just sort of get fixed. So I have some real worries there. And the Chiefs are having problems with both of those guys. Daddy Nicklaus is coming off the PUP list, started practicing yesterday. I don't know what the expectation is for him going forward, how the Chiefs expect to use him, or even what they think he's capable of. But he's going to have to be involved. Frank Zombo, we know exactly what Frank Zombo is. We haven't seen much of Tano Passanio, so we know that the Chiefs don't particularly trust him at this point. All of that is problematic whenever you have a defensive line that's not winning one-on-one matchups or getting much pressure of their own, whenever you have a run defense that's pretty porous, whenever you have a secondary that certainly also has its gaps. The pass rush is the one place that can help you overcome the other weaknesses in your defense. And the Chiefs are also showing a bit of a weakness there. So That's something we'll talk about a little bit more whenever Matt Verderam joins us later in the show, and that we'll touch on in some of your questions. But I just wanted to make sure we got to bring that back up to the surface, because we got to it very late yesterday, and it's really concerning at this point, because I don't know what the Chiefs are setting up to do. And I don't have the kind of faith in Bob Sutton that I have, that I've had in years past, because we've seen him be able to cover up kind of like individual deficiencies. He can cover up a weak corner or a weak, maybe a weak pass rush, maybe a weak defensive line, maybe a weak set of inside linebackers. Never all of them, though. So that's worrisome. An article came out today, I think it was ESPN.com. They put out a list of the 25 best players under the age of 25. And I always am kind of interested by these. They don't become gospel immediately, but I'm always kind of interested by these because it gives you a bit of a national perspective on the team that we are all very close to here. So it had three players from the Chiefs on the 25 best players under the age of 25, Marcus Peters, Kareem Hunt, and Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs are the only team with three players listed. Tyreek Hill, at the age of 23, was ranked 15th. Kareem Hunt, age 22, was ranked 14th. And Marcus Peters, age 24, was ranked 3rd behind Joey Bosa and Carson Wentz. I bring this up not because, again, not because it becomes gospel, and not because I want to split hairs and say, you know what, I actually think that Tyreek Hill is more important to this offense than Kareem Hunt is right now. You know, I think maybe Kareem Hunt's been a little bit inflated by his role in an Andy Reid offense. I think Tyreek Hill has these crazy tools that, you know, he's being underused in this offense. No, I mean, that's all what I just said was true.
Peters can't tackle.
So this is the thing.
He sucks.
This is...
Bum!
This is the problem.
Can't tackle?
I just,
rage!
I'm just not sure you guys get it. Can you hit me with a Benchem real quick?
Benchem! Bum!
And in some cases, it wasn't even just like that guy raging. I saw people on Twitter just say, like, you gotta bench him until he learns the importance of tackling. Or bench him until he wants to play the whole game. Now, like, listen, man. I do think that there's a chance that he, like, gets bored never being challenged. I think I'm putting words into Darrell Revis's mouth, but I think that Darrell Revis may have been the one that said at some point, like, yeah, man, it gets boring being a shutdown corner because you don't get challenged ever. So you just run, you try to copy the receiver's routes all game, and then you go home.
I feel like that was, like, a Deion Sanders thing, too.
I'm sure.
Or at least there were stories of Sanders where it's like he'd walk off the field with a completely clean jersey.
Right, yes. And Marcus Peters is doing some of that, man. And like, so no, is Marcus Peters the best tackling corner in football? No, he's not. He's not the best tackling corner, like, on his team at any given moment. But sometimes you've just got to zoom out. Sometimes, and I'm sure I can be subject to this with Andy Reid. Sometimes you get too close to a player, you watch them so much, and you watch only that team so much. Not exclusively, but, you know, I'm watching every second of every Chiefs game this year, obviously. A bunch of analysts and everything are watching the games twice. I get to see, you know, a good chunk of whatever, the Eagles defense. So you go, oh, the Eagles defense is pretty good. I'm saying that because they're just on the screen in front of me right now. They go, oh, the Eagles, that guy's good. Oh, Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. Oh, man, Jalen Ramsey's really good. I don't see Jalen Ramsey whiff on a tackle. So the rest of the NFL fan bases don't see Marcus Peters whiff on the tackle. This is the national perception of Marcus Peters. It's that he's the third best player under the age of 25 in football. Behind a quarterback who's been surrounded by a really good offensive line and a pass rusher who is very good but is also on a team that isn't doing any sort of winning. And not that those are unjust rankings. You can also say, yeah, and Marcus Peters is on a defense that has its issues. That's all true. I think all three of those guys are doing their job. But I just thought that it was worth noting for a moment. This is what the rest of the league sees when they look at Marcus Peters. they see the third best player under the age of 25 in football. And again, like, we can, you can nitpick. I think Andy Reid is going to always find a running back to make look pretty good. Also, by the way, just like for the record, the top, I can see the top eight right now of the top 25 under 25 list. Carson Wentz, Joey Bosa, Marcus Peters, Jadeveon Clowney, Jalen Ramsey, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Leonard Williams.
I'm surprised Elliott wasn't higher up.
Yeah, I am too. I'm seeing the full that full section
where?
For the first time. Six. One spot ahead of Todd Gurley.
That feels low.
And Jalen Ramsey has been tremendous at Marcus Peters' same position. Jadeveon Clowney has really grown in the last couple of years. These are all... You could reshuffle this around in a thousand different ways. I don't know if they're doing... I don't know if they're doing positional value. It says these rankings reflect a blend of production and potential availability, also factoring in positional value was a consideration, but not an overriding one. If you're doing a draft, then you're probably going to take Carson Wentz, and you're probably going to take Jared Goff number two, frankly, like because you're going to take quarterbacks. But just, again, just for what it's worth, and there's a video that of Herm Edwards, Teddy Bruschi, and Adam Schefter looking at those. I don't know if they put it together. It also looks like Mike Sando from ESPN might have put it together, at least had a good part in it. I wanted to point that out to try to remind everyone Marcus Peters is a very good football player, and sometimes we see too much of him to be able to see the full picture. Bum!
Ah!
I feel like you just had no
material.
I feel like you had no material there, so you became Chewbacca.
Yeah, that kind of happened.
That is definitely what happened. All of a sudden, Chewbacca was mad at Marcus Peters for some reason. Fantastic.
That's all the Chewbacca impression I have.
I'm yawning a lot today.
Oh, it's a rough day, man.
I don't know why.
It's rough.
You brought me a tea from Quick Trip. You didn't. It wasn't like as a gift. You're going to Quick Trip, and just so everybody knows, Beard isn't like kind. He's just like he'll do things for Venmo money. But I realized I also have. Oh man, Beard just turned to his camera and raised his eyebrows and did a little eyebrow dance. I mean, yeah, we can just give out your Venmo address if you want, and people can just send you money with a description of what you have to do to earn that.
See, that's gotten people in trouble before, though, on the internet. I'm smarter than those people.
I don't know. You
mail
like,
only.
You seemed like you... What was that?
Mail checks only.
Okay. I thought you were saying, like, dudes only. Like, well, wait a second.
No.
I can't be the only one who thought that whenever you said that, though. Like, what? Males only?
Unmarked bills.
Okay, I'm going to... Hold on. So I'm going to try something then.
Cayman Islands.
Okay, I'm going to send you... I'm opening Venmo right now on my phone.
Is this going to be like the time you requested $1 million from Charlie?
So I did request $1 million from Charlie Carlin. And...
The screenshot is just
phenomenal. He didn't pay it up. Okay, so I'm gonna test this theory here, Beards. Again, so as I pointed out, Beards will do things for Venmo money, and I'm sending him now. I'm sending him a request. I'm sending him money and a request in the description.
Should I be worried?
No, I'm just turning it from public audience to participants only. Okay, it's been requested. Just let me know whenever you get back. I'll do the show until you're done. We'll take a break. Is that a problem, is it?
No.
I sent you some Venmo money.
That's the problem, though. I feel like this request costs more than a penny.
I did send you 1 cent, but it's like a down payment.
Of what, 2 pennies?
I don't know. It depends on what you
is
get.
Is that all you have left in savings?
I don't know. Do you want to share the request that I made?
Sure. We can go halvesies.
Do you want to share what the actual message was?
I'll let you do the honors.
Why wouldn't you just read it? It's right there for you.
Because deniability.
Okay, that's fine. I sent Beards some Venmo money with just go get some cocaine as the description. And so he said we could go halvesies on it. I don't really know how much cocaine is. Usually people just bring it to me for free.
I think we can get it for 2 pennies.
But you should be able to get a little bit of cocaine for...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey.
It might be like one salt cube worth. Like that.
I think that's a pretty penny.
Maybe two.
I mean, okay, so like... We're gonna go to your questions here in just a second. How much is an ounce of cocaine? Let's see, Google. Drugs street price flashcards. There's a Quizlet for this.
Is that for the criminal justice classes?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
Holy. An ounce of cocaine can range from $800 to $1,200?
Maybe more than just 2 pennies.
Does that seem like too much? I mean, that's a lot of... I guess that's a lot of cocaine.
It feels like a lot. I feel like anything more than zero is a lot of cocaine.
They have numbers for crystal meth here. Yeah, this has to be like a Quizlet for like a criminal justice major or something.
I would hope so.
Otherwise, it's like, here, be the most informed meth slinger.
You know what it is? It's the business major.
Right. That's what you have to. This is for all people. For everyone who went to college, you can pay off your loans.
Accountancy.
Accountancy?
Sure. Why not?
Is that all? That's not a word.
Accountants.
I'm learning so much. How much do you think an ounce of meth costs, Beards, according to this Quizlet?
$1,500.
$700 to $1,100. Meth, strangely affordable. How much do you think a pound of meth costs?
$2,500.
How does 16 grand sound?
Oof.
11 to 16 grand. Crystal meth.
There go my savings.
Wait, there's a difference with... Yeah, so I have no money.
Yeah.
You know there's a difference between normal meth and crystal meth, apparently? Crystal meth, it says, is 3 times higher than regular. It looks clear or like amber glass.
Huh.
I didn't know that crystal meth wasn't just meth. I always just assumed it was the same thing. Sorry, I was trying to click to learn more about OxyContin.
So, do you think they deliver that, or do we need to, like, go and pick that up?
You know what? I actually have a Postmates credit. I don't think there is actually Postmates in, like, Overland Park yet, but...
What about Columbia?
Hold on. Oh, for sure. In
Missouri,
in,
I mean.
Yeah, in southern Missouri, they have just like meth mates. Meth mates is both a delivery service and a dating site in Missouri.
When I went to college in Arkansas, I am 100% sure some of the back roads I drove by were absolutely meth labs.
I forgot. How long were you in college in Arkansas?
A year and a half.
Oh, my goodness. You act like you don't know about all this meth stuff. I mean, there's just... You live in Lawrence now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you must be like Pigpen, but instead of a cloud of dust, it's just a cloud of assorted drugs.
Actually, I was browsing through the Lawrence Reddit the other day.
Okay.
It was on there, and there was a thread about there's a psychic downtown.
Okay, sure.
And nobody has ever seen anybody go in or out of this psychic before. And so somebody posited, this must be a front for coke.
Yeah, you're definitely... Yes.
Or something.
Yes, money laundering, cocaine selling.
The lights are always on, and there has never been anybody I've ever seen enter or exit that building.
Well, we gotta go.
Remote?
Yes! Holy... Can you imagine how much fun that would be? So if it's just the psychic place, then it's fine. If it's a front for a cocaine den,
I feel like
extra fun show.
I feel like I saw something on there though about how like you had to have an appointment or somebody would yell at you,
oh,
which definitely feels like
dude, 100%. They're selling drugs out of that. Do you need a storefront to sell drugs in Lawrence? Like, I feel like back alley meetings would
be... I think that's the high end.
True, but I feel like you would just be really asking for trouble. But, yeah, no, dude, no one has ever made an appointment online to go see a psychic. You make appointments to go see your dentist.
I feel like you don't need an appointment for a psychic. I feel like you just show up and they're like, oh, I've been expecting you.
Yeah, no kidding. They should think that you're coming.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Or they just call you and be like, hey, we're expecting you for tomorrow. And you're just like, oh, I didn't realize I needed a psychic. Sure, I'll be right there.
Yeah, okay, this is a great
point. And then they're
point.
Like, all right, bring on your unmarked bills, preferably about $1,800. what do you like? Do you have your own $1 bills that you can use, or do you need $100 bills from us?
Are you going to wear your Miami Dolphins polo while you do this? No, Beard, you made a great point in there, though. I don't want to let this go unappreciated. If you go to a psychic and they go, oh, sorry, you can't come in right now. You didn't make an appointment first. I'm surprised to see you. You need
they're
to go
fake.
Find a better psychic.
They're not a real psychic.
No.
That one is absolutely 100% a drug front.
Yes. Now, if
the
you
others
want,
are like 50-50.
I think 50-50 is being pretty kind. A quick dive into the Facebook comments. Clinton says, shoot, should I write these down? Thomas said, oh, cut Marcus Peters, that monster. And my mom says, stop researching drugs, unhealthy, unless you're going to work for the DEA. She also says, no, it's some old lady that sleeps all day until she has some sucker, makes an appointment, will pay her $25 to lie to them. I mean, she's
$25 isn't enough to buy Coke, I'm sorry.
No, we just found that out. Also, it's hilarious seeing my mom comment on this. Like, she doesn't know about my ravaging cocaine habit.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
They've been corking the bats and coking the hitters. Hello.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I don't know exactly what I thought this show would be whenever we started it, back at what, the beginning of August, like August like 7th or something like that. I didn't expect to talk about cocaine this much.
It's almost like we're sponsored by Columbia.
Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports, brought to you by cocaine. Just like the, is it a plant? I mean, like, man, there's a, I think it grows from a plant, doesn't it? Well, I just Googled cocaine, and that's not really... I wanted to Google cocaine plant. Oh, yeah, and there's a plant with an impronounceable name. Erythroxylum coca. It's a species of plant. All right. Good to know. Beard said during the break, he said, did we do cocaine last segment? I just like feel like there's more energy here now. And there is more energy here now. We should just start every show with cocaine discussions. I feel like it really just puts a nice energy into the rest of the show. Also, the back and forth. Like, we did some weirdly serious Chiefs and then some Marcus Peters jokes and then some cocaine discussions, and then now it's like listener questions, mailbag. Earlier today on Twitter at JB Briscoe, I asked for your Chiefs questions, and then some people actually threw in some non-Chiefs questions we'll get to later that are good. But
no,
you got...
we don't know where to actually get cocaine.
Speak for yourself. Slide into my DMs. My DMs are open. If you're looking for a hookup. I know a guy. I've never actually seen his face. Every time I buy cocaine from him, he's wearing a backwards Royals hat and a hoodie and big sunglasses. I just see his beard. He seems very antsy all the time, which I always chalked up to the cocaine, but might actually just be like who he is as a person. He also occasionally talks about how much he loves the NBA, but if you ever ask him to talk about the NBA for 24 straight seconds, he just freezes. I asked for your questions earlier today, and you guys did good. So we're going to hit on a few of them. We'll probably just pick them off throughout the show today. We'll see how this goes. Scott Chasen, we've had on the show plenty of times. He started us off with a very obvious question, but you know, we'll still talk about it. He said, "I've been looking for a good sushi restaurant, but all the ones I like are really far away. That's a big concern of mine with Kansas City." And this is the tough question right at the front end. Again, I asked for Chiefs-related questions, and this is, I think, the appropriate place to start. I like sushi. I wouldn't say I love... You just shrugged, Beards. What does that mean?
Not a sushi person.
That makes sense.
I like seafood. I just don't like sushi.
I've only ever seen you eat Good Sense pizza and drink Coca-Cola.
Well, there's not anywhere near here that has seafood that I know of. Especially to go. That's kind of an issue.
You're right. Actually, getting like the idea of seafood to go...
Not a great idea.
Sounds really atrocious.
I think the only one that does would probably be like Long John Silver's, and I think I've eaten there once, and that was when I was like 4.
Yeah, same, actually.
I think that kind of speaks for itself a little
bit. Yeah, I've never gone to Long John Silver's on my own volition, ever.
No.
For sure. Literally never.
No.
You know what I did a little over a week ago? Renee and I were going somewhere or coming from something. I don't remember. It doesn't matter at this point. But she said, "You know where I want to go?" I was like, "You know, let's go get something to eat. Do you have anything anywhere around that you're interested in?" She's like, "You know where I want to go? Cracker Barrel."
And not terrible.
But it was stunning to me. She said afterwards, "So here, you armchair quarterbacks of relationships, tell me what this means."
Oh, boy.
She said, "Yeah, I really didn't even want to ask because I knew you would make fun of me for it." And she told me that part after I was like, "Oh, okay, all right, Grandma, are you 80? Like, it's fine. Do you want to order your food pre-chewed also?"
Oof.
I did go on to make fun of her before she informed me that. And now I'm making fun of her on the radio. So again, you know, if anybody knows a good, like, relationship counselor.
I have not seen her name pop up on the view counter over
That's
here
good.
Yet.
That's good.
Shh.
I'll just tell her that today's show is very, very serious and very, very sportsy and that she wouldn't like it, so she shouldn't listen to the podcast.
Except for that 15 minutes we talked about cocaine.
No, but if she starts, then she'll
That's
just...
That's true. Never mind.
Yeah, no.
No cocaine here. Nothing to see.
You should open
Move
the...
along, people.
You should open the door to the control room and yell that louder. Just, nope, no cocaine in here.
See, there's one small problem with that. Right next to where I am,
yeah.
The door to the president of Union Broadcasting's door is.
That's right.
That's kind of an issue if I just open the door randomly. So yell,
I don't think he's
no
here.
Cocaine.
I don't think he's
no,
here
No, he's
today.
Here.
Oh, he is here?
Yeah.
Oh, his door was shut earlier. Okay.
Never mind.
Beards is a coward. Beards is a coward who makes...
I like my job, man.
Beards is a coward who makes funny jokes in my headset and not on air. You're a coward, Beards. It probably sounds worse than that you didn't make the joke. It wasn't actually bad. It just was like a little edgy. It was another cocaine joke.
I like my job, man.
He's just making cocaine jokes is all. Hey, listen, Beards, if cocaine jokes got us fired, the show would definitely end at 5 today and never be back.
We would have been done weeks ago,
That's
man.
True. Yeah. Where the bleep... Oh. Okay. God. So Renee wanted to go to Cracker Barrel for some reason. I don't remember, but it was fine. Cracker
good
Barrel
pancakes
was good.
Last time I was there.
Yeah, it was fine. It was good. I wouldn't really like every day. I
no.
would go there, you know. Oh, okay.
Every once in a while, yeah. Sure.
But I had never been to a Cracker Barrel on my own volition. That was the line of thinking.
Oh, okay.
That was another place like Long John Silver's. I've never been to Long John Silver's in a car that I have driven. And I don't know if I ever will. Like, I can't imagine being in a place where I want to go to Long John Silver's.
Nah.
Did you know that there's an old couple, I can't remember where they're from, but they have gone to every Cracker Barrel
in
America?
I had seen something about that.
That story is absolutely bonkers. Next time the show, later on today, when at 5:45, we'll close the show out today. I'm going to add that to my list. We're going to do the Chiefs questions now. I mean, maybe. I'm adding, though, after we talk to Matt Verderam later today, we're going to talk about the Cracker Barrel couple. So, yeah, I enjoyed my Cracker Barrel experience just fine. It did not inspire me to go to all, like, 600
no,
or whatever.
No, that seems like a stretch.
totally insane.
Is there a restaurant that I would go to that many of?
To 600 of?
To try and go to all of them?
No, because that's a ridiculous thing to aspire to.
No, here's the loophole. You go to the local places that there's only one of.
But that's different.
I know.
Because, like, okay, would
Shane,
I...
Shane, though? No.
Could I go to... Aren't there, like, 6 Slim Chickens?
There's a decent amount of Slim Chickens.
Okay.
They added another one in Lawrence. There's 2 now.
But I'm saying there's probably, like 6 to 10 in the whole country, right?
No, more than that.
Okay, well, then fine. Whatever. But I'm not saying places that have 3 locations in the country. I'm saying... I don't think there's any restaurant that I would eat at 600 times if I could help it. Like, I'm probably eating at Taco Bell more than any other fast food restaurant, and, you know, I'm not going to live to eat there 600 times. If you eat at Cracker Barrel 600 times, eventually natural causes catch up to you. Do you have a number of how many Slim Chickens are there?
I'm on their website right now. I'm trying to pull up the locations thing. Hopefully it gives me just, like, a list and not just, you know, put in your information, then we'll give you
what
the
What is
nearest.
Your over-under for the number? What do you think the number
oh,
is?
Oh, there's probably a good 100-plus.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, that was much smaller than that.
No. They're getting pretty good sized. Go on with your semi-sports show. I'll come back to you with information.
Thank you for your permission.
Maybe.
Scott's the sushi restaurant. I'm a fan of sushi, but I'm not like a... I don't eat there every week. Try more places, Scott. Just try the places around and see what's good. That's where this started. I would have spent more time on the sushi question, except for it drove us to Cracker Barrel and then Slim Chickens. RJ said, essentially, this is not an exact quote. He said, speculate. The playoffs are probably Pittsburgh, New England, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Baltimore, or Oakland for those last spot. How do the Chiefs match up with their opponents? And so we checked on this a little bit in the last few days. If the Chiefs get a bye, they're probably going to get New England at home in the divisional round and have to go to Pittsburgh. If the Chiefs get the 3 seed, though, they'll probably get Baltimore or Oakland at home and then go to New England and then to Pittsburgh. I'm not going to pick the Chiefs against the Steelers until something different happens as a result of one of those games. So that's where I'm at.
I have 77 Slim Chickens on their website.
I don't want to go to all of them.
No. It's really good. I really love it.
Sure. I don't want to drive.
But I don't want to drive to all 77
no,
of them.
No!
That's the thing.
Bonkers. What would I drive that much for?
There's 4 in Fayetteville alone.
Fascinating addition. Thank you, Beards.
You're welcome. Mind blown.
Lefty asked the first, maybe not the first, but the first one that we'll talk about, the first of a bunch of Bob Sutton-related questions. Lefty said, will Bob Sutton be let go no matter what happens the rest of the season? And I thought this was interesting because I don't think you can say no matter what happens the rest of the season, because if the defense is really atrocious from here on out, if the defense gives up 30 points a game to a bunch of sub-500 teams, or if the defense is just tremendous and then the pass rush kicks in for the playoffs and they make the AFC Championship game, they're not going to change a darn thing. Or if they make it to a Super Bowl. Yeah, really, if they make it to an AFC Championship game, I'm not sure. I think if they lose the Steelers again, it leaves more opportunities open. Anyway, that's all sort of just... partially. I don't think you can speak in the extremes with Bob Sutton. But if you want to look at the expected path, I think you can say realistically right now that the expected path for the Chiefs is to be the 3 seed or the 2 seed, to either skip or win the first playoff game, to certainly have a chance against the Patriots, and then if they get to the AFC Championship game, lose to the Steelers. I think that's the expectation. If those are the results, and if the defense looks pretty much the same way that it's looked throughout the bulk of this season, I think you could see a change. I think I would be really interested in a change, because it seems like Bob Sutton is kind of doing the opposite of the Andy Reid move, where Andy Reid is really good at scheming to the players he has, which is, again, I think is why they drafted Patrick Mahomes. I think he wants to scheme to Patrick Mahomes instead of scheming to Alex Smith. And I think he wanted to scheme to Tyreek Hill rather than scheme to, you know, I'm trying to think of another receiver that they could have tried to invest in. Even more than they tried to scheme to a guy like Chris Conley, who obviously is out right now.
Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I think that's true, though. Now that it looks like a mistake now, obviously, because you're dead money and your draft pick you had to give up, the tampering, etc. But I think Reed will try to get guys he wants to scheme with, but then he will scheme to them. Bob Sutton seems to have a really hard time doing that. Bob Sutton seems to have a pattern and a plan, and then you just sort of plug in the guys, and then they go.
He's Jim Boeheim's zone defense of NFL.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting comparison, sure. And the Chiefs haven't done much sort of catering to Bob Sutton, and Sutton really hasn't done a lot of catering to the defense. And I could see Andy Reid being annoyed with that. I think it would probably mean the defense costing them. Maybe it's a regular season game that costs them a two seed, and then maybe it's the defense looking really bad in that first week against a team like Oakland in the playoffs, or like Baltimore in the playoffs. I can't imagine them looking bad against Baltimore. And, you know, they didn't look very good against Oakland in the regular season at Oakland. I don't think that would happen again at Arrowhead in January, but I digress. Also, Bob Sutton survived the Colts game. Whenever Alex Smith had his best game as a Chief, the Chiefs' offense was moving, even though they had, like, no weapons around Alex Smith for that day. And Sutton survived that, but that was earlier on. So if the season ends in a way sort of resembling that again, I don't think he'd be back. I don't, though, think that it is already set in stone. At this point, you could make a case for me that it's 50-50. But I'm actually, I'll ask Matt Verderin about that again. We'll talk to Matt at 5:30. I'll ask him what he thinks about if it's a foregone conclusion one way or another. I think it's truly still open to the second half of the season, plus the playoffs, which is obviously kind of where the money really comes in. Derek or Derek, I don't, there's an extra E on the end. I've never seen anyone spell Derek that way, so maybe it's Derek. That kind of makes sense. Asks, do you think Sutton is willing to change a scheme that clearly isn't working? This is also a very interesting Bob Sutton question. Because my answer to this has actually changed in the last, now I guess, 2 weeks. He was very stubborn and it really wasn't looking very good. And now I wonder what happened after a bye week. Last week, though, They were doing, against the Cowboys, they were doing a whole lot more of base 3-4 stuff. They were doing different things with their scheming and their personnel, where Justin Marsh Lillard was being left in instead of having Daniel Sorensen play as a linebacker. I think that was a good, smart move that was actually, frankly, rather obvious. But that was an adjustment to a scheme that wasn't working, and the run defense was better against the Cowboys. The defense, again, was not the largest problem from that game. It wasn't great, but it wasn't a game loser. So I think there's a chance that Sutton is willing to change a little bit, not much. I don't think he's going to become super aggressive. Same vein, Keyshawn asked, will Sutton let our middle linebackers attack gaps the rest of the season or keep making them read and react? This is something we talked about with Seth last week, where he said he saw some of Reggie Ragland being able to sort of just fire into a gap, and if this defense would do that, they have more guys who are equipped to do that. Ragland has that, what did we all say, downhill thumper. He has that downhill thumper ability. Kevin Pierre-Louis has some real speed for an inside linebacker. The Chiefs have some personnel, some people in that personnel group that are able to do that. But making them read and then react is just really putting them at a disadvantage. That's something that Derek Johnson was really great at in his prime. He was great at everything in his prime. I guess that's, so me saying that's kind of a cop-out. But these guys aren't Derek Johnson. However, I think you can make your inside linebackers look a whole lot more competent by just giving them assignments saying, attack this gap, and everyone has to do their job. It gives you a little bit less, this is the Bob Sutton thing, it gives you a little bit less opportunity to bend and not break. But it makes you a little more vulnerable, I guess, because, you know, if Chris Jones just gets beaten on his assignment, then you don't have a chance for Kevin Pierre-Louis or – I might have said Justin March Lillard earlier, I'm realizing now, because there's the three names. Did I say that? Did I say Justin March Lillard at some point, Beards?
I seem to remember that name floating into my conscious as I was kind of drifting off. I just remember just in the blue, just Justin March Lillard.
Okay. If I did that, I'm sorry. I think he's still with Seattle. Too many inside linebackers of three names that have been on the Chiefs at some point this season. I mean, this is before the season started, but you know how I made that mistake. You know why that happened. But with Kevin Pierre-Louis, Reggie Ragland, those kind of guys, they're not going to be able to sit back there, and Jack Johnson, obviously, not going to be able to sit back there and then see, uh-oh, they're going this way, and Chris Jones getting beat. We got to stop this for a 5-yard gain instead of a 15. But also it gives you more chances to stop it at the line of scrimmage if everything goes according to plan. It depends on how much you trust your guys and how aggressive you want to be. I can't read the mind of Bob Sutton, but I would certainly let my inside linebackers be more aggressive in this instance. Let's talk about the offense for a second. Here's a little hope from Keyshawn. He said, will Mahomes see the field on Sunday? It might be a blowout. And I saw that tweet and I thought, oh man, how pleasant would that be? Like, what a nice like, change of tone. A blowout victory against the Giants where the blowout is so successful that you end up putting Mahomes in for the last 5 minutes or so, let him try to run out of drive with the backups. I don't think it's going to be that much of a blowout, probably. And even if it is, I don't know if that would happen. But it would be a very pleasant change of pace. Keyshawn asks one more question. He says, will Daddy Nicholas and Tano Passanio get any action the rest of the season? Combine this with a question from Avik. It's A-V-I-K. And I didn't even think about how I have to pronounce that until I had said it out loud.
Avik sounds about right.
Let's go with Avik.
Sure.
And if it's not Avik, let me know. And I'll get it. What?
He can yell at us.
Sure, yes. You can yell at, you can yell at me. My name is Nathan. You can yell at me at Beards McFly on Twitter. Tell me how much I got this name wrong. But and he says, would Daddy really help the pass rush more than Zombo or K-Pass? And it's an interesting way of asking this question because I think that Daddy Nicholas, he had some flashes in his very limited snaps last year. And the Chiefs invested in him and then kept him around. I think it would make a lot of sense to at least try to get him into this rotation where there's a vacuum right now, like we talked about at the beginning of the show. You've got to give him a chance. Now, Passanio, again, just does not seem ready. It seems like the Chiefs don't trust him yet, which is kind of a bummer because you would like to see something from him that's on the field whenever you're in kind of a outside linebacker purgatory, pass rush purgatory right now. And then Frank Zombo, I think we know exactly what he is, which is he's made a play every once in a while, which is more than you can say for some of these guys. Frankly, it's more than you can say about Dee Ford and Tom Bahali for a while. Obviously, Tom just had the Cowboys game. He got close early on before his knees blew up. But I feel like we know what Frank Zombo is. I think the Chiefs do too. I think there's a reason they went and invested in Tano Passanio, but I don't think they see him being ready until next year whenever he'll ostensibly replace Dee Ford on the roster. I don't know if he'll be ready for that. I think that was the plan, though, at least. I think there's got to be some more Passanio and some more Daddy Nicholas in this pass rush coming up later on in the season. We're going to take a break whenever we come back. I don't know why that made myself singular on that one. I'm not going anywhere. The show.
I won't be here. So it'll just be whenever you come back.
You're just going to leave?
Yeah, I'm just going to go.
Okay. You got something to do in the parking lot?
Nah, I'm just going to leave. You can run Thursday Night Football.
Go find out what that ESPN notification was.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I just realized something. If I would have been a really good producer, yep, I would have come back with that song.
Yeah.
I'm a hack.
You had the music playing through the second half. Like,
well,
even the voice guy.
This is all just ruined.
The music of the voice guy.
Hang on.
There was music under the voice. No. It's got to be Beards. It's got to be the whole liner. The whole liner has to have it. Like, the music should just continue in the liner file. Really bizarre move by Beards there.
Hang on.
I don't. What do you mean, hang on?
Okay, no, well,
hold on. Can I do a thing while you figure it out?
Sure, I guess.
On the Facebook comment thread, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City, Thomas says there's a real nice sushi place that's all you can eat sushi down in Olathe. Please tell me where that is. I'd like a name, please, or an address, or whatever. I live in Olathe. All you can eat sushi sounds wonderful, but I've not been to an all you can eat sushi place in Olathe. Also, what did you just say to me, Beards?
I said we got about a minute left in this hour.
Okay, great. Also, RJ asks, do I want to play Pittsburgh? No, I would love the Chiefs to avoid Pittsburgh. It's going to be very, very hard for them to do that because they're probably going to be the one seed, and they're going to have home field advantage, so the Chiefs are probably going to have to play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. If they want to, I mean, really, the way that the Chiefs avoid playing Pittsburgh is by, like, losing to the terrible Ravens at home in the divisional round. Also, Thomas says, along with his sushi wisdom, he said, I heard there's a chance that Bruce Arians might be out of Arizona next year. I'd take him over Sutton any day. I think we should at least give Sutton the rest of the year to prove himself. I think that's where we're at. Like, Arians would be super interesting. Hadn't considered him at all. I'm very much interested in Rex Ryan just because I would like to be able to talk to Rex Ryan on a weekly basis out at Arrowhead. That sounds magical. But no, I mean, Sutton is not getting fired this year. That is for sure. All right, whenever we come back, more football, more sushi, more cocaine, more Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Beards took a second shot on the sexy
I got it
back.
That time.
It still sounded bad. The music was not synced up appropriately. It was better. But it wasn't just playing the song under the liner. It was doing it in two pieces. It's just some weird choices, you hack. Beards is so sad, which makes me so happy. Beards has taken off his headphones and put them on his microphone and walked out. So I guess we're allowed to talk about sports again because Beards is gone. There were a couple. Oh, Beards is. No. Beards is blocked. Oh, you. Yo, you. Beards has come into the studio and opened the door. So the Facebook Live camera is blocked. You're the worst.
Revenge!
Do you want me to get up and go shut the door?
Sure. Why not?
Because I don't want to give you the show for that long.
I didn't teach you to make fun of me and my production work.
I was critiquing
that I slave away on.
I was critiquing your bad production.
Well, I'm critiquing your bad radio. There.
Well, you weren't though. I mean, you can, but that's not what you were doing. You gotta come shut the door, Beards. I can't do it. Beards has hung up his headphones on his microphone again. Avik asked, would I start Terrence Mitchell over Kenneth Acker?
You suck.
I would. I would absolutely start Mitchell over Kenneth Acker. Seth has also gone into some film review on this, so it always makes me feel good whenever Seth finds something on film that I already thought I knew. Terrence Mitchell isn't he's not perfect, but he's certainly a better cornerback than Kenneth Acker is by a healthy margin. I'm truly baffled by the Chiefs' insistence on playing Kenneth Acker. So, yes, I would start Terrence Mitchell, no question. Nick asked, if our best cornerback won't move to different sides of the field, how can we expect to hold down a team with a number one receiver option, yet alone a two-receiver offense and an offensive coordinator who's happy to exploit it? It's a scheme thing, and again, this is part of Bob Sutton's just kind of way of doing things, and for better or for worse. In theory, you just let Peters hold down his side of the field, and if it's the number two guy, then you give safety help to the other side. Are you going to use the same liner for the next segment also, Beards? I see Beards working on his computer, and I'm thinking that he's going to do the same liner back again, but better.
I mean, it was fine to begin with.
So if you have a guy that can give safety help to the struggling corner, you know, if it's Terrence Mitchell and Ron Parker essentially on Antonio Brown, then I think it's fine that you're leaving Marcus Peters on, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, who, by the way, is like a superstar now, so that's still going to be problematic no matter who ends up where. I think that's the theory. I think that's what Bob Sutton wants to do. I just haven't seen it work all that well so far this season. Tony asked, if we lose to the Giants, do you consider this a lost season? I would consider it a lost life of my own, because I would consider it a lost Chiefs fan. Because I don't think I could root for this team anymore if they go to New York and lose to the Giants, who just lost to the winless 49ers. I don't think I could cope with that. I think that would be the end of me. Beards is answering a phone call. I was going to ask him what he was looking so confused at, but he stared at his phone very confusedly, and then I saw him swipe on his phone and then answer the call. He's now typing something.
I'm blocking a number.
What was the number that just called you?
Spam.
God, you should have said Charlie Carlin.
I mean, a yes.
And one other Chiefs kind of mailbag question here. Tony again asked, Do you think with the offensive line being healthy, Andy Reid gets back to using Kareem Hunt like he did from weeks 1 through 5? And this is a very good question that leaves me also kind of scratching my head. The usage of Kareem Hunt in the two offense-based losses, I would call the Steelers and the Cowboys game, Kareem Hunt had 9 carries in both of those. Again, you can chicken or the egg it and say, was the offensive line bad so they didn't run with Hunt, or was Hunt... not should he just have been used more often? Would that have fixed things? Or would it have just exacerbated the problem? And I don't really know what Andy Reid is doing, but Andy Reid is also notorious for not going to the run often enough. I would love to see Parker Anger out there in place of Brian Witzman. He's just not out there for some reason. He was pretty good last year. I don't understand why he's not playing still. But one way or another, the offensive line will have had not only everybody get back for the Cowboys game, but then a full week off to rest up again. This is as healthy as this team is going to get through the rest of this season. This is the only break that you get unless you get one more bye week going into the playoffs. So I hope very much that this allows for a more aggressive offensive line, frankly a more aggressive defense, just a more aggressive team. That's something we talked about. I don't remember if it was earlier this week, late last week, doesn't matter, sometime during this bye week. The one problem that I find still with this team offensively is still not enough aggression, not enough, oh no, deep throws, where you just don't know where it's going to fall, where you just hold your breath whenever you see Smith just unload one, because you don't know if it's going to end up in Tyreek Hill's hands, over Tyreek Hill's head, in the hands of a safety, or in a pass interference call. Most of those options are good or at least excusable. In fact, even, you know, an intercepted deep throw is basically a punt. So I am a huge fan of taking more aggressive deep shots. Andy Reid doesn't seem to be asking Alex Smith to do that very often, or Alex Smith is actively not doing it whenever he gives him options. Either way, though, it's not my favorite thing. And at this point, I think on both sides of the ball, the Chiefs could really do with more general aggression. They have the personnel for it offensively, obviously. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt. And the offensive line has been problematic. I'll give you that. There have been several instances in which it would be a real challenge for Alex Smith to get the time to take one of those deep shots. But even whenever it's really, really quick, sometimes you've just got to trust Tyreek Hill to cover a lot of ground and take the snap, take a three-step drop, and just uncork it. And if it's an overthrow, then it's an overthrow. If it's intercepted, then it's a earlier down punt. If it's a catch, it's a game changer. We've seen that on plenty of occasions. So I want more of that. And often, or defensively, like we mentioned just a little bit ago, I'd like to see more aggression whenever it comes to the linebackers just committing to a gap and doing less read and react stuff. I'd like to see them doing more things aggressively in the pass rush as well, even as the personnel now. As the personnel now gets challenging, you might be in even more of a place where you simply must be more aggressive to compensate for your potential lessened talent. I think a good chunk of the Chiefs' worries can be fixed with some more aggression, or at the very least, you find out if this team has enough talent. And if it's an under-talented team, then I'm not going to weep throughout the offseason because it's an under-talented team. I don't think that's the case, but I've been wrong before. Do you know what you're doing tonight? Do you have plans this evening? Beards, do you have plans this evening? What are your plans this evening?
Stay here until forever. And then go to school. And then come back here and repeat the cycle forever.
Until you
and
die.
Ever, and ever.
Right.
And ever. And ever.
Specifically
and
tonight,
ever,
though,
and
Beards.
Ever, and ever.
Beards. But Beards, specifically tonight, though. But specifically tonight, though, Beards.
Stay here forever.
What are you going to do while you're here, though?
Oh, I mean, I...
Other than work and push buttons.
I guess I could watch Netflix. I mean, I don't know what I'd necessarily watch. I'm done with Stranger Things, and House of Cards is kind of like...
Right, you can't really go to
can't really go back to that.
No, I know. I've had that
I didn't
same...
finish season 5. That's just gone forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, Beards?
If you click watch, it like a DMCA just pops up on your on your screen. It's just like, "Oh, we're watching you."
Yeah, you're not allowed to watch this anymore. Listen, Beards. You know what you sound like?
What?
You sound like a guy who doesn't know what to watch tonight.
I do.
And I bet there are a lot of people that don't know what to watch tonight. And I bet there are even some people who don't know where they want to watch these things that they don't know that they want to watch.
But where would I do that, Josh?
Let's see what's on TV tonight. Out at Austin's Grill and Bar. Thursday is steak night at all three Austin's locations. So put down your TV guide and head to Austin's. Here's what to watch this evening.
Let me solve your problems for you, Beards. Let me lay down some smooth jazz.
I got a lot of problems, man. How much time you got?
How about your problem? Let's focus on what you're going to watch tonight.
Oh, okay.
You had a couple of options. I was expecting you that a whole time to say that you're going to watch Celtics Warriors.
Oh, I'll be getting to that. I was playing a bit role.
Why don't you tell the world about Celtics Warriors really quick? You go first.
The Celtics have won 13 in a row. That's really freaking awesome. They have the best defense in the league somehow.
Yep.
The Warriors are the best team in the league. This will be fun.
It'll be fun.
I don't think the Celtics are going to win 14 straight, guys.
I don't either.
It's very depressing.
Where's this game?
I don't know. I think it might be in Boston because it's the early game. I feel like it's in Boston.
Do you know what channel it's on also? By the
it will be on TNT tonight.
I have a feeling. What time is that?
It is at 7, and it is, let me see, it is in Boston.
You don't need the first 30 minutes of an NBA game. I really believe that in my heart of hearts. Roll up into Austin's right about 7:30, and you are going to get a barrage of good sports. Austin's Bar and Grill, there are three locations, one in Gardner, two in Olathe. Thursday is steak day.
Ooh.
Go to an Austin's.
Oh, wait, I'll be here.
Yeah, I actually thought about, like, sometimes we should just go, but you can't because
you're here
all the time.
I could make Charlie cover for me on a Thursday, and then we could go.
If Austin's ever, like, wants to do, like, a watch party or something like that, that would be so dope.
We'd do it.
100%. We should have done that for the Chiefs-Raiders Thursday night football game, which also would have been very sad, though, by the end.
So. Yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
But tonight... Tonight's a good night to go. In fact, tonight would have been a good night to go, period.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's the really good NBA game that Beards has broken down. And also tonight is Titans versus Steelers. It's a Thursday night game worth watching. The Steelers are a touchdown favorite, according to ESPN.com. But this is a game between a couple of teams who are going to end up in the playoffs. The Titans, probably as a wild card, the Steelers are going to win the AFC North. Obviously, though, the Steelers are a team in the Chiefs' way. If the Steelers win tonight, they have all but locked up a number one or number two seed. I feel pretty confident in saying that. because their only other really difficult game going forward is having the Patriots, I believe, in Pittsburgh in Week 15.
Also, I want to point out really quickly,
yeah,
the second game on the TNT doubleheader, Houston and Phoenix. So it will be high scoring.
Yeah, you'll get to see 300 points get scored in a game.
Yeah.
By each team.
Just about.
Chris Paul's back tonight. So yeah, it's good stuff to watch. Tonight, especially the Thursday night game, has all of these Chief-related implications. Root for the Titans tonight. I know that Tennessee and Jacksonville are going to be going blow for blow. You're going, oh, well, how do you know what to root for? Tennessee's a wild card team. They have a more difficult schedule than the Jags. Also, the Titans are a little fraudulent. I think they actually have a barely negative point differential, which is really rare for a 6-3 football team. So, root for the Titans to go into Pittsburgh and pull off the upset tonight, knock the Steelers down a peg, and then, if the Steelers lose tonight, and if the Chiefs win out, the Chiefs will end up with a bye. I think that's mathematically 100% true, because the Steelers would have three losses, and the Chiefs will lose the bye, or would lose to the Steelers in a tiebreaker situation, but they have the tiebreaker with the Patriots, and the Steelers and Patriots play each other in Week 15. So, really good NBA slate tonight. A really good Thursday night football game. Beards will be here, so we can't take the show to Austin's, but
we'll work on it.
But you should go. They support this show and they support ESPN Kansas City, so we should support them back. Austin's Bar and Grill, Thursday steak day at all three of their locations: one in Gardner, two in Olathe. Thank you, Austin's, for keeping this show. I don't know what you're keeping this show breathing. I was going to say worthwhile.
It's like
that
an iron lung, kind of.
Right.
It's like we exist,
but we're miserable.
Yeah. Some days, it takes the cocaine, man.
RJ said whenever you opened the door and blocked the camera, he said, "How dare you block my boy?" I hope that's what that was about. And it wasn't about like the Chiefs run blocking or something. Because that would really be it. That'd be real. He's like, "Oh, how dare you block my boy?"
Well, we know it.
Kevin Pierre-Lewis.
Well, I was going to say, actually, this is on the other side of football, but oh, it won't be Marcus Peters. But that it doesn't quite work out that way.
No one has to. I get it. I get what you're saying. No one has to block Marcus Peters.
Well,
that's
fine. I would say Marcus Peters doesn't have to because, you know, he doesn't like tackling anybody.
But... right. No one has to block Marcus Peters.
Sure.
Right.
Whatever.
Your joke was closer to working than you thought it was, actually. Okay.
I'm rattled about this liner thing.
I really don't want you to play it again next segment. That's what you're doing, right? That was your plan?
Maybe.
Do you want to just play the last, like, 10 seconds of it so I can judge the transition?
Fine. Hold on. Let me get it to the last 10 seconds now. Oh, that's the wrong thing.
Joshua Briscoe.
Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I did last time, basically.
No, you didn't. Yeah. You had it cut at a different place, man.
Yeah.
You had it cut at a different place. Sex a bat. Them other boys don't know how to act. I haven't heard this song in a very long time. Watch your back or something. Well, I attack. I don't know. I don't remember the lyrics. Come on,
me.
Go ahead, get on with.
Let's just let this sit here. Let's just keep talking.
Sure.
That's fine. 5 minutes of this.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Six.
I asked for questions earlier today in case you missed that. We're doing kind of a mailbag thing at this point now, like the majority of today's show. It is so dark outside, by the way, now.
Yeah, we don't need those blinds closed anymore, I don't think.
No, I guess we could leave those open from now on. I would like to be able to see the outsides. Corey tweeted in a couple minutes ago. He said, "We still need the Patriots to lose one more game in that scenario, and the Patriots beat the Steelers." So I think this is accurate. Boy, this music's very distracting. I'll be very honest.
Good radio show host would power on.
Sure, a good producer would make it harder for the radio show host to function.
Content, baby.
Is playing an instrumental of Sexy Back #good content?
I mean, compared to what else we do? I mean, we did spend 20 minutes talking about cocaine earlier.
So the Patriots do have two losses, and they would need to lose one more. So what I was, I guess what the math I was doing there was if the Steelers lose tonight, the Chiefs are in a better situation, but ultimately you would be still be rooting for the Patriots. Oh, no, because the Patriots, yes. No. Dang it, it's too early in the season to be doing playoff scenarios. Because the Patriots, seriously, they're going to they'll probably lose at Pittsburgh if they lose again at all. The worst case scenario is that the Steelers win out except for the Patriots game, and the Patriots win out entirely, and then the Chiefs at the 3 seed, no matter what they do. So that would be the disastrous situation. I don't know what you're doing here.
Yeah, I don't know either. Ad lib.
Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. Now go to Austin's Bar and Grill. Or else we're going to have Matt Verder on here in 10 minutes. So if you're upset by the amount of cocaine that has been included in today's show, first of all, don't. Like, we got taught growing up. Like, don't talk to strangers and don't get in a car with a stranger and don't, like, take drugs from strangers. Listen, here's what I've learned. My livelihood at this point is based on me talking to strangers. That's literally my job. And it's also, like, Twitter. So I'm talking to strangers constantly. Uber and Lyft are hugely successful businesses built on getting into the car with strangers. And if someone offers you drugs, you should probably take them, right? Like, that's, drugs are expensive. Don't have to use them. Just go put them on eBay. Or on Craigslist. No one can touch you on Craigslist. Craigslist, you're invincible. Just go on Craigslist, you know, and then just go home and call the police and say, hey, guys, I know that you're really good with this kind of stuff. How would you suggest that I sell drugs most efficiently? I want to be safe. I know that selling drugs is a risky business. How can I sell drugs safely?
I am really, really glad that none of the executives on Union Broadcasting listen to this show. Right about now.
I'm just supplementing my income. I gotta have a side hustle. Everybody in this building's got a side hustle. Why can't my side hustle be selling drugs? If I'm doing it safely. Just as the police indicates that I should. I feel like I should tweet the Lawrence Police Department Twitter account about this. I feel like they'd be cool with it. I'm gonna do it from the ESPN Kansas City account.
They'll take away your privileges pretty quick there.
Not if nobody snitches about who did it. Beards. I'll tell them you did it.
That includes you, Facebook people.
I'll tell them all you did it. Tell them all y'all had the password. I also, sorry, I was going to say that I got a bunch of questions. JT said, I asked for topics, questions, comments, whatever, and he said, airport renovation, Hyperloop needs to be real, unequal tax rates across state lines, promotion of tech industries is lagging, America eats less beef, the aquifer is drying up, possibly leading to major agricultural downturn, need a downtown baseball venue, is that enough?
Also, your mom has commented now on the Facebook video again. Okay. Your little sister is apparently watching.
Tell my little sister that she's getting an expensive Christmas present.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, that's a little bit of a hang-up when there's, like, alcohol advertisements.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of an issue.
Yeah, right.
Because your sister's, how old?
8.
With Joshua Briscoe.
She's like me, she's got at least 6 more years to go before she starts drinking.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, a little bit of much-needed housekeeping from the last segment. In case you missed it, my mom said on the Facebook comment thread, you can watch the show, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. She said that my little sister is listening. She just said, quote, why would you sell drugs? Which infers, I believe, that my little sister is currently in a habit of buying drugs?
But then that kind of defeats the whole argument you're making there, because she's obviously buying them from somebody who's selling.
I think she's sort of chiming in going like, well, I'm not selling drugs. Hope you're having a good time listening to me, Chloe. Thank you for listening. You've brought a listener.
I am sure Matt is just absolutely confused.
We're talking now to Matt Verderam from FanSided. He's on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. Matt, how would you feel? Okay, actually, let's change the question. What age do you think it's appropriate for your brand new child to start either buying or selling drugs of their own?
I'd say at least 16.
Okay. Wow.
I'm hoping it doesn't happen now. Or that's the goal here as a parent.
But so what I'm saying though is like if you got a good business model set up and everything, like we've had the most common thread today. We've had two common threads, which is Chief's questions from Twitter and learning about drug selling and drug pricing and everything. So it's been a very educational show.
Listen, you know what? Everybody's got to stay away from drugs, especially the kids. I mean, I got in plenty of trouble in high school. Not for drugs, actually. I started basically a gambling ring around March Madness and got called into the principal's office a few times. But I'd say that is better than drugs. So you got to go that route.
Okay, but you'll say on the record right now that kids should not buy or sell or do drugs. Is that accurate?
Yes, I feel that's a pretty fair statement.
Woo! Savor the youth! Also, good that you're a father and I'm not.
that's agreeable.
Seems like it's going to work out that way. I was talking to Matt. We're not just about parenting in drug selling and a gambling ring around March Madness, which is a fantastic slice of your past for anybody who's just now getting to know you for the first time. But let's talk about the Chiefs. I was out there just sort of panhandling for Twitter questions. And you chimed in and said, well, you know what you should do. If you want to have a good, successful radio show, you should call me. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That's a perfectly good point you make. And you said that you are you're going to go, I have to pronounce this word correctly now, nuclear, on where the Chiefs stand currently. And I'm terrified but curious as to what that means.
It just means, like, let's get real about the Chiefs, right? Like, I've been on this show before. I've been on Kansas City Radio. And I always try to be extremely professional, so I'm going to continue to do that. But at the same point, like, look, for a little more background, I mean, I grew up in New York, but I grew up as a Chiefs fan, so I was fine, okay, all the way back, man, Joe Montana as a quarterback, and I've been there ever since. And so, you know, I've gone through all the pain that probably everyone listening has gone through with this team. You want to talk about the kicker that shouldn't be named, Elvis Gerback, whatever.
Right.
Now we get to a point where it's pretty obvious this team's going to win this division. I don't care. They could go 9-7 and win this division, probably going away.
Yep.
So that's not a concern. But there's all this talk about, well, maybe they should put in Patrick Mahomes. Well maybe, you know, maybe they need to find another way to fix the defense, if they can blitz more, mm-hmm. if they can start playing different personnel groups. Look, that's all a bunch of nonsense. Like, first of all, Patrick Mahomes is not playing. And there is no chance Patrick Mahomes would be playing better than Alex Smith is right now.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes would not be on pace for 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns with two picks. There's no chance. Second of all, defensively speaking, forget about the run defense. Forget it. Forget about all the yardage rankings and the points. Forget about all that nonsense. If the Chiefs are better against third down, especially third and long, where they're dead last in the league, overall I think they're 21st in the NFL. If they're better on third downs and they're better in the red zone where they're 26th, two-thirds of the time to get up a touchdown, if they're better in those two categories, they can win a Super Bowl. Yeah. If they're not better in those two categories and they can't run the ball better than they have the last month offensively, they are going home when they play Pittsburgh or New England. So for all the talk about everything else, I feel like we're missing the obvious points here. Like, you need to run the ball and you need to limit points when teams get inside the 20, which in the NFL today they are going to do no matter how good you are defensively. You can't do those things. See, you might beat Jacksonville or Tennessee in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You're not beating the big boys. And so that's where Kansas City lays right now. Forget about all the rest of this bunk.
Is there any realistic way of them getting to a place where they're better on third downs on both sides of the ball, frankly, especially also in the red zone on both sides of the ball? Is that doable without having, you know, like an off season of personnel changing?
Yeah, I absolutely think it is. Look, part of the problem with the Chiefs right now, they're getting a pass rush from Justin Houston and then nobody.
Yep.
And I think they've reached the point here where they're going to have to make some business decisions and not based off of contracts and graphics. Forget about D Ford. D Ford has had two sacks, and outside of six games last year, D Ford has been a hood ornament in his career in Kansas City.
Yep.
So when they get Daddy Nicholas back, now you could say, well, he's never done anything. Well, he's also never had the opportunity.
Yep.
Put him on the field and see what you have. I'd also put Zombo on the field over Ford because Zombo actually can defend the run play.
Yep.
So to me, you have to maybe bring some more, I don't want to say more blitzes, but bring a different look to the defense. Sutton did it in Dallas.
Yes.
Against the run. They played the nickel, but instead of playing a lot of dime defenses when teams came out with three wide receiver sets, he stayed in that nickel. They played a bigger nickel. They played three linebackers instead of two. At times, they played three defensive linemen instead of two. And the result was Ezekiel Elliott having the third worst game of his career in yards per carry. So the Chiefs are capable of making these adjustments.
Yes.
And by the way, speaking of adjustments, if Kenneth Acker starts one more game for this team, there should be an investigation into that coaching staff.
Like, yes.
Kenneth Acker cannot cover anybody in man coverage. He's atrocious. To anyone who has access to all 22 film, turn it on, watch Kenneth Acker against Cowboys. It's not pretty. Terrence Mitchell's not great. He's better than that. Yes. So that would be another adjustment.
Let's talk about the pass rush, because actually something we've talked about here the last couple of days at relative length. Daddy Nicholas, hopefully back soon. They have a little while before they have to decide if they're going to activate him or when they're going to activate him. But I'm curious, and you can sort of take all this at once. Curious what you think that Daddy Nicholas can realistically do whenever he comes back. Curious as to what you think about what Tom Bahali does or doesn't have left in the tank. Andy Reid has said that he had some knee swelling after, I believe, 23 snaps against Dallas. That's not encouraging. And then also, I think there's a chance that we've actually seen the very end of D Ford in Kansas City, because midseason back injuries don't just go away. He's not practicing now. It's not going to get better with time beyond the whole offseason. And even if we haven't, even if he's not a quote unquote surprise addition to the injured reserve, and I'm going to say maybe even to activate Daddy Nicholas, I think they might be really looking at that. But even if he does end up getting back on the field, I can't imagine him producing at, quote, peak D Ford level, which is still kind of underwhelming. And he's not coming back next year for $8 million. So I guess you mentioned D Ford already, but curious to see what you think on the future of Daddy Nicholas and Tom Bahali this season.
Well, look, I think ultimately with Nicholas, once he's healthy and ready to go, he's going to come back and play. Now, the last two guys who come off the pup list, Nelson and Tomba, they were both back that same week.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if Nicholas is going to have that same luxury coming off an Achilles, but it's possible. And look, you're right about back injuries. D Ford, we don't really know. It's kind of vague. The Chiefs really never specified what exactly it is. Mm-hmm. But apparently the week off with Dallas, the bye week, hasn't helped him.
Right.
So I wouldn't be overly optimistic. We're going to be seeing him anytime soon. And you're certainly right. They are not picking up his $8 million.
No.
There is no way. So there's a very real chance we've seen the last of D Ford, which really is too bad because athletically he's there, but he's never been able to put it together. As far as Tomba goes, he played 23 snaps, and Andy Reid's already saying that he had a setback with a swollen knee.
Yep.
It's not encouraging. He's 34 years old. And the shame of it was Tomba actually looked pretty good in those snaps against
Yes.
Dallas.
Yeah, he was making something happen.
I'll tell you right now, if I were the Chiefs, I wouldn't play him another down until January.
Mm.
I would not put him on the field another. For what? If you can't beat the Giants, the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos without Tom Bahali, quit.
Right. No, you're
Chiefs,
right.
The Chiefs realistically should not lose another game this regular season. Now, look, it's the NFL. They'll probably have a game in there where they don't play well, and maybe they have some injuries that hurt them, that cost their spots. But the Chiefs are going to be favored by a touchdown in every single game. The only team they play with a winning record is Buffalo, and that team is quarterback right now by Nathan Peterman.
Yes.
So there's no excuse for Kansas City not to at least win 12 games, and they should not need Tomba to get that job done.
I'm talking to Matt Verderam from FanSided. He's on Twitter at Matt Verderam, and he's got he's got a thousand things. Go to his Twitter account and then go to all the links that he puts out. I got a question earlier today on Twitter, Matt, about Bob Sutton, and someone asked, is Bob Sutton done in Kansas City after the season no matter what? And I don't think that is reasonable. I don't think in either direction his fate is currently sealed. But if the defense sort of progresses as you might expect, without any real swings in either direction, what do you think about Bob Sutton's future in Kansas City? You've mentioned Rex Ryan's name a couple times. That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere because Andy Reid, if you look at his history in Philadelphia and in Kansas City, he does not fire assistant coaches, right. Not unless he absolutely has to do it. And Sutton has – the Chiefs have been – to be fair to Bob Sutton, the Chiefs have had a borderline good to frankly, crappy offense in the 4 years prior to the season under Reid.
Right.
And Bob Sutton's defense has been the reason that they've been in the playoffs more often than not. There has not been one of these years where you've said – well, geez, the offense is just carrying them to the playoffs. So I don't think it's fair to say, well, Bob's having one bad year, he's gone. Losing Eric Berry, I don't think people understand how good Eric Berry is, or maybe they're starting to now. Because in the offseason, when he was a free agent, I got a lot of tweets with, you know, they shouldn't spend that kind of money on a safety. Well, how's that looking?
Right.
Dude, he is, in my opinion, along with Justin Houston, he is the best player on that team. And when you lose that, you lose so much flexibility. Bob Sutton depends so much on what he can do. So I think they're still trying to figure that out to some degree, and they're not going to figure it out all the way because they're just not going to replace Eric Berry. But I don't think they should fire him. Unless the only way I would fire Bob Sutton, if I'm Andy Reid, is if this defense goes 2003 and they just cannot get off the field. They, you know, get up 45 points in a playoff game or something like that, and they're completely inept. But even this year, look, let's be honest. They didn't lose to Pittsburgh because of that defense.
Nope.
They lost to Pittsburgh. They couldn't score a point.
Yep.
They lost to Oakland because of the defense. They also, frankly, I'm not one to get on officiating, but that was one game you could certainly point to it. And the Dallas game, that was on all sides. Mm-hmm. I mean, they couldn't move the ball for a foot. They had 11 drives in that game and only once crossed Dallas' 35-yard line.
That's incredible. Yeah, and they had one – They had one good drive. The Travis Kelce touchdown against the Cowboys was one successful drive, and then essentially a punt that Tyreek Hill, with assists from DeMarcus Robinson and Travis Kelce, made into a touchdown. So, yeah, I 100% agree with you there. Let's talk about the offense for a second, because, the blame for the Steelers game goes fully to the offense for me. The Raiders game goes to the defense, and then a sprinkling of officiating, if you would like. And the Cowboys game, I took away much more of an issue with the offense than with the defense from that game also. Is there something that you see this offense doing differently going forward? I know that the usage of Kareem Hunt these last few weeks, especially in the loss to the Steelers and Cowboys with 9 carries in each of those games, has been very different than in the first 5 weeks. Does that stand out, or does something else stand out to you in this offense that could be improved upon going forward?
I think it's a few things with the offense, but I think the offense is very fixable. The problem really has been, in their losses, two of those three teams play very similarly, and that's Pittsburgh and Dallas. Those two teams, offensively speaking, of course, they run the ball very well. They have very good offensive line, and they have good, solid quarterbacks, although I would contend that Ben Roethlisberger, we're starting to see a pretty sharp decline out of him. Mm-hmm. But those teams defensively are both very fast, athletic fronts. They play zone defense behind it, and Alex Smith has never played well against those kinds of defenses, ever. Now, the good news for Chiefs fans is those are the only two really good teams in the league to play like that.
Right.
So you're not going to see a ton of that moving forward. But I think for the offense, like, they've got to get back, especially with Duvernay Tardif and Morsak. They've got to run the ball. They've got to be able to pound the ball. They're playing a Giants team this weekend that has been horrendous defensively, despite, frankly, some pretty good defensive talent. If the Chiefs don't run the ball in this game 30 times, there's something wrong. This needs to be a game where they just line up and they pound the ball. And if you're going to win, you're going to need to do that as this year wears on. Look, they don't play one good team the rest of the year. But when they get to January, they will be in January, they are going to need Kareem Hunt to take the ball and look like he looked the first 5 weeks of the year. If he doesn't look like that, then the onus falls completely on Alex Smith and the defense. And I think maybe you win a game like that, but it's not sustainable.
Let me give you one other thing I've been tossing around recently with the offense. And I was talking about, and then Seth Kaiser wrote an article about Tyreek Hill and how he's been using sort of supplemented what I had been saying. Tyreek Hill is still being underutilized for the amount of value he can bring to this offense. And it brings an interesting question about, because I think it's pretty easy to say that. I think everybody, for the most part, could say Tyreek Hill should be getting more looks, more targets, and maybe even more deep shots. I would argue all those things, and I think that's pretty safe. The question then becomes, though, why isn't that happening already? Why hasn't that been a change that the offense has been implementing? Why hasn't his role grown more throughout the year to get to a place that fits with the guys who have been on a peer level to him as far as yards per target production, which is literally all of the top guys and no one else? And so I have wondered if it's Alex Smith having a little bit of that hesitation still to go to him as often as we would like to see that happen, or if there's an Andy Reid, I don't want to call it an Andy Reid problem, but an Andy Reid philosophy that includes still not asking Alex Smith to go to Tyreek Hill as often as you would ask Ben Roethlisberger to go to Antonio Brown. Do either of those seem more or less likely to you than the other?
I don't really think it's one thing. I think it's more of, look, when teams play the Chiefs, they look at Tyreek Hill and they look at Travis Kelce in the passing game. We have to stop them by all means necessary. And so I think if you look at film, a lot of times, you know, teams are doing everything they can to make sure Hill doesn't get loose. Now, that being said, he's a phenomenal talent, and the Chiefs have to do everything they can to get the ball in his hands. One thing that we have not seen a lot of this year that I'd like to see more, give him the ball in those jet sweeps.
Mm-hmm.
Run more of that action. They were doing that a lot early in the year. They've kind of gotten away from it. I think they did do it once in Dallas. And I think it went for 12 yards. But that's something, you know, look, Tyreek Hill is a multi-dimensional weapon. So you can, you know, everybody complains about bubble screens, and I'm right there with those people. But when it's him, it's different.
Yes.
If you get the ball in his hands and you block, and if he makes one guy miss, it's a track meet down the sideline. So I think they have to get the ball in his hands more. But I don't think it's cognizantly I think Andy Reid's trying to get the ball in his hands. I think Alex Smith is trying to do that. I would also say, though, any play that is designed at this point for anybody not named Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, or Tyreek Hill should be burned and gotten rid of forever.
Yes.
There is no, any time those guys aren't the number one option on the play, it's a horrible play.
Yes.
You can't. There's no reason Demetrius Harris should be the number one target on any play ever.
No.
Under any circumstance. I don't care if a coach is guardian. There's no reason. So I think, listen, the Chiefs are going to be fine offensively as long as they start running the ball a little bit better. That'll open up everything else.
Let's spin here just a second. We've got to get out of here because, like, the show ends. I guess that's a thing that happens, apparently. Beard has been telling me that the show has to end at some point. The Buffalo Bills did something really interesting this week. They announced that they're benching Tyrod Taylor on behalf of Nathan Peterman, who will now be taking over. And this, to me, I thought was interesting because it makes next offseason's quarterback market not flooded, but just it puts another viable option into the free agent pool, which I think has a very good chance of limiting the ceiling for the Chiefs could get for Alex Smith if they do ultimately decide they want to trade Alex Smith next offseason. You can argue how close Alex Smith and Tyrod Taylor are to being the same person. You can argue in either direction. It doesn't really bother me one way or another, but it gives at least another viable option. So the Broncos or the Jags, if they want to give up a second-round pick for the guy they feel a little bit better about, you go to Alex Smith. If you want to keep that pick in your pocket, as I'm guessing both of those teams want to do, it seems like Tyrod Taylor would be another perfectly good option. How do you see that affecting next season if the Chiefs do, in fact, end up putting Alex Smith out on the market?
I think the Chiefs will probably move him. I think they're going to trade him because if they cut him, I think they're terrified he's going to go to Denver.
Oh, I think you're right. Yes, I agree there.
I don't think he's getting released. And to be fair, look, I'm not the biggest Alex Smith guy in the world, but mm-hmm. I think he's been sensational this year.
Mm-hmm.
He is a much better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. There is no world where Alex Smith would ever be benched for Nathan Peterman. So I think that needs to be factored in. But Taylor's younger, and so mm-hmm. there is some upside there. But I think one team you got to watch for is the Cardinals. I would not be shocked.
Oh, that's
at
a good call. Yeah.
If the Cardinals move on Smith because they're desperate for a quarterback, they have nobody in the pipeline. I could see them going that route, unless they want to just totally blow that team up and go really, really young, which mm-hmm. you know, always a possibility.
Sure.
But uh, I'll I'll end with this. This is almost a PSA for everybody in Kansas City who's been tweeting me and everybody else who covers this team nonstop about they're going to fall apart. Don't forget that they're 6-3 against the hardest schedule in football. Mm-hmm. Like, the Chiefs tick me off as a fan of them as much as anybody. Believe me, they drive me insane. But for everybody who says, well, they lost to the Raiders, they've lost 3 out of 4. The Steelers lost to the Jaguars by 21 points at home, and they lost to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, believe me, the Chiefs now play the easiest schedule. Don't be surprised when they rip off 6 in a row or 7 in a row here, and then everybody's freaking out that they're back to being who they were the first 5 weeks of the year. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm certainly not putting that as out of the question. The AFC is horrendous.
Yes.
And, frankly, the NFC, Eagles, probably the best team, Chiefs beat them up in Arrowhead.
Yep.
So I don't think there's a reason to panic. Now, if they lose to the Giants, they become near losing to the Giants, then you hit every alarm bell on the face of the earth.
Right.
But until that happens, I really would caution against going crazy that they're 6-3. Pretty good record.
Matt Verderam from FanSided on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. As always, good to catch up with you. Thank you for volunteering today to join into the fray so we could change the meaning of the phrase nuclear football.
We all need a little bit of therapy sometimes.
Me too. I'm glad that this can be a safe place for you. Go make sure your kid doesn't start selling drugs.
Yeah, I'll do what I can.
Matt Verderam from FanSided. That's good. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are going to be okay. They're going to beat up on a whole bunch of bad teams. They're going to probably either win a divisional round game or a wild card round game or skip it entirely and then eventually lose to the Steelers. That's how this is going to go.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.